Hi, and welcome to Real Nurse Stories. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Sanara. And Sanara is a nurse who's working in Perth in Western Australia. Hi, Sanara, and welcome to Real Nurse Stories.
Hi, Eva. Thank you so much for having me.
That's okay. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. It's a pleasure to always have the opportunity to talk to nurses. So thank you for expressing an interest. I'd like to start today, Sanara, by just asking you a little bit about your journey into nursing, and perhaps if we can start with what made you decide to become a nurse.
So it probably goes back to when I was a little girl. I actually grew up with a sister with a disability. Mm-hmm. So she was older than me and she had spina bifida. So my mum was also a nurse.
Okay.
And mum actually said I was probably like her little helper. So I was always running around wanting to help and asking questions like, why does the body do that? And wanting to know. So I was always interested. So when it came to being in high school and trying to decide what I wanted to do, it was then that I looked and was like, oh, I think I want to be a nurse.
Yeah.
And I never looked back.
So nursing runs in the family then, in that sense for you.
Yeah, it runs in the blood, I think.
So where did you do your training, Sanara?
So I was at Edith Cowan University, where I did training through the university there.
Mm-hmm. And then where did you go once you qualified and you'd done your training? Where did you want to work?
I wasn't sure, like part of me kind of wanted to go into like ICU or something. I was a bit unsure what I wanted to do, but I ended up getting a grad program at a hospital in the city. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do a grad program where we did 3 months in each area, and we did four areas, so two medical and two surgical.
And did you have a feel at that point for where you wanted to specialize, or was it just kind of gaining experience post-training?
I think I was just trying to find my feet, and each place that I went, I either really enjoyed, or some of them I was a bit unsure if I liked or if I had the skills for. So I think each area really challenged me, and it changed throughout the year about what I actually wanted to do in the future.
It's so interesting, isn't it, when you start out, kind of a lot of nurses that I interview and I talk about wanting to go to kind of ICU or high yeah. care dependency units or ED even, and once you kind of start in an area, it does change. It's kind of where you thought you wanted to go, and I guess that's exposure, isn't it, to different things. And
yeah, different things, definitely, because yeah, and it was really quite, interesting during that, like each ward I went to, I would even work with certain nurses and I'd be like, oh, they're an amazing nurse. I want to be like them. And they had so much knowledge in that specific area that I wanted that too. But then the next minute, then I'd be, the next month off to another rotation and then be again looking at another nurse thinking they were amazing, wanting to know about that specialty. So yeah it's definitely so random, to be honest.
So you've been a nurse for 8 years now.
Yeah.
And where are you currently working in terms of the role?
I've actually ended up more in education. So I have been working as a lecturer for a few years, and I kind of fell into that. I've always liked teaching, and like if you talk to my mum, she'll say I've been teaching for as long as I could speak. Bossings around support workers. but more that, and I do a lot of community nursing. I think I just like that you can spend the time with the person, like at their home, and actually get the time to have a cup of tea and, talk clinically as well, but actually be a bit more involved. Whereas like on the ward or in the hospital, you don't always have the time to spend that time with them.
Yeah. It's a different context as well, isn't it? A different in terms of, I also worked in community nursing some years ago now, but it always struck me that you're very much a guest in someone's home in the community, whereas in a hospital setting, they're a patient in a bed, sometimes in hospital pajamas, having things done to them.
And it's so true.
It's a different a different context. I really love community nursing for that one-to-one and getting to know someone. It's a very rewarding job, actually, was my experience.
I think it's also like the families and stuff as well, like you actually get the time to, you know, meet the family and talk to them as well, whereas like in the hospital you don't always get that, so yeah. I guess it's a bit more homey feeling, a bit more personal.
Tell me a little bit more, because I'm curious about how you fell into education, because you have a natural ability. You said your mum had said that about you, but yeah. How did that happen?
I actually got asked to do some volunteer talks. So while I was studying to become a nurse, I was working as a support worker, and I was working for a guy who was a quadriplegic, and he'd had like a huge accident when he was 20, how he ended up that way, and he was ventilated, and he had like a really good story and a really good way of like talking to people.
Yeah.
So I actually got asked to do some volunteer talks and to lip read for him, because he didn't have the ability to speak.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the person who asked me to come and do the talks with him also asked if I would speak about being a sibling to someone with a disability.
Yeah.
So we went out for the first time to meet students, and we did it. And I was actually really like overcome with emotion in my first talk, because I didn't really plan and I didn't really know how it made me feel. And it went really well. So they kept asking us to come back and meet each of the group of students, whether they were studying aged care or disability, to meet. We would talk to the students, and the students loved the interaction between me and the client as well. And I think it was, I don't really like the word, but I think they found it really inspiring. So we did that, and it was after doing that for a few years that they said to me, oh, we're looking for a new lecturer. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And they're like, it's you. And I was like, oh, like I was working as a theatre nurse back, like by the time they asked me, and I was a bit like, yeah. Oh, I don't know if that's what I want to do. But I was like, I'll give it a go. And like, I like a new challenge. And yeah, I've been there nearly 4 years now. So
that's
funny
great.
How things just happen.
Yeah, and life's like that sometimes, isn't it? I think that's the great thing about nursing is these opportunities sometimes are completely unexpected, but having a go at something like that, you know, can be hugely rewarding, which in your case, and also much needed, because is it that your specialty area is teaching around kind of disability awareness and in relation to
I think disability, like the lack of disability awareness in nursing, is huge. And like, even as a student, I remember meeting a boy who was disabled, and I walked into the room as a student because they gave him to me as my patient load. And I was like, hi, I'm Sanara, I'm going to be a nurse today. And I was chatting to the boy, and the mum started crying, and I was like, oh no, I've already stuffed up. Like, you know, as a student, you start panicking. And she actually said to me that I was the first nurse in 5 days to speak to her son and not just speak to her. And I was a bit horrified. And it was probably over the years I've noticed that a lot of nurses, I don't think nurses don't want to have the disability awareness. They're just not given the training or the opportunity to ask questions. So I think over the years I probably have become more passionate and more aware and willing to teach about disability. So I definitely prefer to teach disability as a lecturer as well. I really enjoy that.
And it's so needed, isn't it, in terms of, you know, all the changes with the NDIS and, you know, people being cared for at home. I think there are some big gaps there in terms of knowledge around disability and helping people to live at home and live a normal as life as possible for them. There are gaps in that, so it is a much needed skill, and also something that does need to be incorporated into nursing curriculums. I sometimes think we're kind of stuck a little bit with how we've always taught, whereas actually sometimes things have moved on a lot, and we need to reflect that in preparing student nurses, I think, for the skills they need for the future. So it's hugely important to have that diversity and perspective, you know, in training nurses. I'm curious to know also kind of how do you approach that when you're teaching about disability? You're obviously bringing in a client perspective and someone who's living with a disability, but how do you kind of broaden the thinking around, you know, what it is to live with a disability and what skills are required as a nurse?
I think sometimes it's making them aware. And like when I worked in recovery, we had a person with a disability and we were flagged, like through the process, we were told in recovery there was someone with a disability coming. Mm. And one of the nurses was going to look after them. And I said to her, why don't you go out and speak to them in pre-op and talk to their carer or their family and just talk to them, because they were going to be nonverbal. And she's like, well, why would I do that? I said, well, you may as well take the opportunity whilst you can ask questions and find out, like, what observations would the family make about their pain? Or, you know, how do they know they're in pain? Or, you know, how do they communicate? And just get that information, intel, because then when you're on the other side and they're waking up in a strange environment with a strange person, you might be able to observe those same signs. Mm. And they're like, oh, that's such a good idea. And then we kind of went through those motions and did that. So I think it's just trying to share little ideas. And like, I never want to come across as trying to tell someone how to do anything, but I think it's just sharing the information or a different perspective, and hope that maybe it would start another conversation somewhere else. So yeah, that's really, I try and take that kind of approach of more starting the conversation or asking questions about it, so that people can start thinking about it a little bit more.
Because it's true, isn't it? I think a lot of people worry about how to start a conversation and what to say. And it's almost helping people to get over that hurdle to be able to then open up and understand the person that you are caring for and what their needs are. And I guess it's that fear of, you know, if I'm going to say the wrong thing, or am I going to upset somebody, or I don't know how to approach this. Those are the skills, aren't they, that are so important to learn. Do you use like role play at all in when you're teaching?
We do when we're teaching. Like when I'm lecturing, we do a lot of role play. We get some guest speakers in, just try and use it up, or we use like case studies and we'll talk about maybe how that certain client from the case study would feel or what their goals are, just trying to open up the different thoughts. And it is interesting because when you actually get people start talking about it, people do have ideas or they do want to try things, but I think they're scared that they're going to do the wrong thing. And sometimes it's really trial and error. Like even myself, I've made mistakes sometimes where, you know, I've gone to talk to someone and use the word and they've gone, oh, actually I don't like that word, and I'm like, oh, okay, sorry. And then move on from there.
It's really interesting because a few years ago I did some work with some nurses who wanted to recruit was one of the spinal wards, and they wanted to include a guy who had previously been a patient on the unit but was very involved with kind of the community and coming in and speaking to the young guys who'd had accidents and become quadriplegic or paraplegic. And it was such a challenge on so many levels because it was like nobody had ever done it before and all the processes we had to have in place. But actually it was fascinating because it was a whole different feel to the interview. And, you know, he was an equal member of the panel in terms of, you know, he had his own questions that were great questions actually. And it was so interesting seeing the different reactions when we were interviewing nurses for a position on a ward that dealt with kind of this patient group all the time. And some really did struggle a little bit and some were like, just blown away by the fact that we'd actually done that. And it was a huge learning experience for everybody actually, but one that I think was a starting point of trying to be more inclusive in how we do things in a way that I want to say is more equal, you know, on an equal footing, because it is so important, and to seek those views and how do we incorporate those views, you know, but it all starts with that, you know, understanding how to start a conversation and taking a leap of faith as well, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and I think people have to be okay with making mistakes. Like, you know, even I have done that, and like words like even inspiration and stuff like that. Like, I have used the odd word and been like, oh, sorry. Yeah. But we just have to be okay with it, that we're not going to get it right 100% of the time.
Yeah. And do you get good feedback? I'm not being critical asking this question, but I'm curious to know about student reactions to kind of you opening up that subject in a way that exposes them more to it.
They usually enjoy it. I think a lot of students really enjoy stories as well. They like to get like the story perspective, and like when I teach, I am very open about myself as well, and I think they really value that because they feel safe to ask questions. And they're happy to ask the questions that they're curious about. And we can discuss them, you know, and actually open up the conversation before they go out to have actual real patients or real clients. So I think that really makes a big difference as well. It's just using those stories or using, but most of them have really good like reactions to it. There is sometimes I find the odd person who might have like an opinion about disability, or maybe being brought up with a more old-fashioned terminology. And sometimes it's just trying to talk to them about how someone might feel if they use that. But generally they just don't know that those words are no longer used or no longer appropriate. And then it's okay.
And a lot of that is around being aware of our own biases, isn't it, you know, in terms of culturally what we've kind of learnt from growing up, and but also being open to understand that might be different now to you know how things were possibly back then. So how many of your students would you say kind of get placements in working with clients with a disability?
Those that are who are learning like disability specific will go out to a disability area, and then others won't, but there's a lot of opportunity, especially with the NDIS, that a lot of people are now choosing to have services at home or have nurses visit them at home or support workers. So I think that area is just going to get bigger and bigger, and the opportunity for people to be in that disability specific area is probably there. Like, there's going to be a lot more opportunity for them to be involved.
And in terms of, is it a separate pathway within kind of their training, or is it integrated as part of their training?
Some of them are on a separate pathway, so that they could do, if they want to be more like disability or as a support worker, or some of them might do that on the way to nursing, so they might do that so they can work while they're nursing. Or others, I have had like some people who have done their nursing but have landed a job in disability but feel like they don't have enough from their nursing training to actually pull from it, so they come to do disability specific training so then they can provide a better service or have more information.
That's good. It's good that there's somebody who's passionate about that, because when you're passionate about something, it makes working in that environment all the more kind of important, doesn't it? Because it's driven by you wanting to make a difference, and that, I guess, largely is from some of your own personal experiences with your sister as well.
Yeah, I think that definitely has probably driven me as a nurse a lot to be a good nurse and to talk to families and take the time. But then I guess with my teaching as well, I've always wanted to help people along with what they're doing, but disability is important to me. So I guess I'm probably someone who's cheering that along as well.
That's great. And one of the other things that you mentioned here, you gave me three things you wanted to talk about. One was disability in nursing. And maybe actually let's just talk about that a little bit more, because disability in nursing, in what context was that?
I think it's more the things that we've talked about. So the awareness of nurses in disability. And I think that is growing. But yeah, it was really just, and as we mentioned with the curriculum as well, because I know a lot of people have said to me, we didn't cover that at uni, or we didn't cover that at TAFE. We haven't been given any sort of skills with that. And I think if people don't start talking about it, then it may never change.
I guess where my thought process was going with that was actually thinking about nurses working with a disability in nursing, because that's the other.
That's a whole nother ball game too.
And I started to see, certainly, there's been a few things I've seen recently on some of the social media platforms about, particularly, I think there was a doctor with a disability who was a wheelchair user, and how, you know, he had got a job against all his kind of thinking he wouldn't. And I that's also an important conversation to have in terms of how do we support not just nursing but other healthcare professionals with a disability to be part of that, you know. That's and I think that is also changing, I think, slowly.
Definitely. But yeah, slowly. I think it's taking a lot of time, but I think it's possible. It's just people being open to it and willing to try and work out how can you do it.
Absolutely. One of the other things you mentioned here was looking after our students and grads, and I'm guessing that's also a passionate subject, being working in the education sector, and you will see a lot of students and grads. Tell me a little bit more about that.
I think over the years I've seen a lot of students. I guess us nurses were terrible for eating our young, like sometimes I don't know if we mean to or if we're just trying to promote a standard, but I think it's really difficult because some of the students and grads I've come across, I've had them like crying on shift or just really upset or worried that they're not going to be able to find a job. And I have tried to help some of those along the way, because like, I think it's unfair that if you're really passionate and wanting to do it and spend all that time studying and then you come out and you can't get a job in it, it's, you know, it's kind of feels like it's all worthless. I think it's definitely trying to help them along, and it's something that I've put a lot of time into, is, you know, when I have a student, making sure that if I'm going to be a preceptor, that, you know, I'm looking at their learning as part of it, because a lot of us are like, well, we've got to do 5 showers and we've got to do a wound dressing, we've got to do this and this, but they forget that that poor student is there to see it and be involved, but they also need to be learning and having the opportunity to ask questions, which I guess can be difficult to balance when you're trying to work. But it's important, because at the end of the day, that's their opportunity of education, so I feel like we have to try and support that.
And also how somebody experiences that first kind of placement, I want to say, you know, and attitudes towards their learning really can, I want to say, make or break, because in some circumstances, if it's not a positive experience, then we lose potentially some really good students, because, you know, that it hasn't always been a positive experience. And, you know, the opposite of that also, someone who's had a great experience, it kind of makes them want to do more of that. But it is still a struggle. It is in nursing. It's, and I think sometimes we created a very pressurized system where those areas that are under pressure the most are sometimes not able to give the time, and, you know, that can cause issues as well.
Yeah, it's definitely been really difficult, I think, for them to try and work it all out, or for even nurses to try and feel like they can have the time to be a preceptor.
Yeah. What in your experience does kind of mentorship and supervision feature in kind of nurses who are transitioning from that, you know, having done the training, to being a grad, to being, you know, newly qualified? What's your kind of thoughts around how that can help in that space?
I think sometimes it's important to match the student with like a preceptor or buddy who like one is willing but also might be suitable for the way they learn.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you get matched with a student and like the way you teach and the way they learn doesn't match. Mm. And that just makes it difficult for the teacher and for the grad. Yeah. So sometimes it's just trying to find the right buddy, but it's taking the time to work that out.
Yeah.
And you know, being allowing them to be honest. Like some grads have said to me, oh, she's really knowledgeable or the nurse is great, but we just can't get along, like we can't communicate. Yeah. Or she doesn't feel comfortable to ask questions or stuff like that. So I think that's part of the battle is trying to actually have the time to put them with suitable people.
Yeah.
Or even ask nurses, do you want to teach? Do you want to be a preceptor? Because I know some who are like, oh, I've got a student today or I've got a grad. And it's like that attitude and that way they come across
is
part of the problem.
Yeah. So it's almost like opting into it rather than having to do it, because you're going to get people who really want to share their knowledge and support and help a student grow. That's interesting. And I think the mentorship or preceptorship also, you know, there is, as I'm sure you know, some research around people that choose their mentors or preceptors tend to do better because it's somebody that they aspire to be like, or they have respect for, you know, the work that they do. And too often we don't encourage that. It's kind of you matched with that person and it's a bit of a lottery, you know, and people are different. It's like learning styles, isn't it? You know, if you know your learning style, and as a preceptor, you understand your learning style, that minimizes those kind of misunderstandings, perhaps. But if you don't know that, you wouldn't necessarily think, oh, it's because this person, you know, is a visual learner or it's knowing all of that. So it's hugely important.
Yeah, and I don't think like we really get taught how to do that either. Like they say, oh, because you're a nurse, you come out and you know, you're expected to teach people. Like that's just part of your job description. But no one really sits down with you and says, okay, this is how you be a preceptor, or this is what learning. Like no one does that. You just go, okay, I'll just have to do it and I'll work it out.
And that will be vary from person to person as well, won't it? So
yeah,
I mean, all of those things are just so hard for students and grads to navigate, aren't they, when there's so much, you know, that they have to consider. It's like another layer of stress almost, trying to navigate these things whilst trying to get a job and pass your exams and your assignments. It's not easy.
No, it's definitely not. And I think even trying to get a job, like that's not really laid out to you either, how to do that.
No.
And a lot of them are like, you know, how do I do that? So that's the other part. I think it's the whole kind of process isn't really set up to really be helpful or supportive.
No. And I think having worked with a couple of students around trying to get a grad place, you know, there are some gaps there in what we're not perhaps helping with, you know, and some fears around interviews. For many, many people, it can be the first proper formal interview they've had for something, and that's daunting in itself. But there are things that they can learn that can help them to deal with that. But as you say, we don't always, I think, look at that enough, you know, being interview ready and learning how to do that is a better way than almost learning by being thrown in and then finding out, oh, that's what I should have done. You know, it's not easy at all. So Nara, what do you think is the most difficult part of being a nurse these days?
I don't know, like I never really found nursing too difficult.
No.
I think I felt like I was meant to be a nurse.
Yeah.
The only real time I really struggled being a nurse was I did palliative care.
Yeah.
And I found that really, really difficult, because I think always being a nurse, you are fixing people and making people better. And in palliative care, you couldn't do that. People, you know, were dying. And I remember going home and like I'd cry the whole way home. Yeah. And I was like saying to my mum, I can't do this. Like, I don't. And she said to me, you're looking at it in the wrong perspective. And I was like, am I? Because I just, you know, everyone's dying, or these families are losing their loved ones. And she said, oh, it's a privilege to be at someone's last few days, but find something positive. So, you know, whether that's giving them a nice bed bath or playing some music or getting a cup of tea for the family, like find something positive that is still helpful to everyone. And she's like, find that and, you know, look at that. And when I started changing that and doing those little things and doing, you know, a really nice warm bed bath or getting a cup of tea for the family, I started to feel a bit more satisfied about it. And seeing it in a more positive light. But that was probably like one of the hardest parts of being in my career, was probably during all of that.
That's good. Good advice from your mum though, wasn't it? It's like reframing the way you look at something by looking for the positives and not seeing the doom and gloom side of it, really. And palliative care is challenging. It is challenging, but it, as your mum says, it can be very rewarding because it is a privilege, I think, for someone who's in the end stages of their life to receive good care, and that good care makes such a difference. And then, you know, it's not for everybody, and that's okay. You know, that's comes down to where we want to be and what our passion is, and that's also fine. So, but I can see how that can be challenging, and more so I guess if you don't have that sounding board like you had your mum to go and express that, and your mum had a background in nursing and totally gets that. But I always think the people who struggle perhaps more are the ones that don't have that avenue to sound out, I'm not feeling so good about this, and someone to balance that and help them to see it from a different perspective, I think is really, really important.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of nurses or a lot of grads that come out and they don't have someone to talk to, or people aren't willing to listen to them. And you're right, it is important, because what happens to them otherwise? Like, I'd hate to think that I was working with grads or students and they were crying on their way home. And I have to admit, I probably didn't tell anyone either myself when I was a grad going through that I was struggling, because I guess you want to come across as that you can manage and that, you know, you can be a professional and do, you know, what you have to.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's right.
No. And as a profession, we do that even when we're qualified, you know, that not wanting to admit that we're struggling with things, you know, because of that fear of what are other people going to think? They're going to think I'm not capable, or, you know, I shouldn't be showing emotions. And I think that to me is where there's a big need for, I want to say, clinical supervision, because I think clinical supervision is perhaps not as developed in nursing here as it is in other places. And if done properly, you know, with a structure, it provides an outlet for that and a confidential space to talk about those feelings and help people understand them. But it is access to supervision is very limited.
It's not something very like encouraged or talked about either. And I think some people see it as very negative, that because you're being supervised, when, you know, really it doesn't mean that you're not a good nurse. No. It's just more maybe like looking at how we can support each other.
Yeah, and it's in the context of how you look after yourself as a nurse and protect yourself. That's one of the strategies that can support you to do it. But you're right, I've had people say to me, you know, oh, it's, you mean performance management? No, I don't mean performance management. You know, it's like it does have negative connotations. Maybe we need to think of a different name for it, but it's such an important tool along with mentorship and, you know, that ability to be able to reflect. But you've got to have somewhere for that to be worked through. Otherwise, you're just accumulating all of this.
Yeah.
And then there's, if there's no outlet, it just gets to be this big mushroom. And at some point, yeah, you know, that's got to come.
Yeah, something has to give.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think it's tough. How do you look after you, and what kind of things do you do that contribute to your resilience?
I like to go down and watch the sunset and be by the ocean. Yeah. And I have to admit that sometimes I'm not very good at looking after myself. And a lot of my friends who know me well probably know that I'm probably put a lot of people before I put myself.
Yeah.
But I'm really lucky that with my husband, he makes sure we take time out to go and do things that are fun, whether it's go out for dinner or, you know, fish and chips by the beach, you know, or even sit and read a book, because it's important to look after ourselves. And I think as nurses, we're so used to just putting everyone first that we forget. And I do find when I'm really struggling with work that I do some journaling and sometimes just putting it on a piece of paper and getting it out of my head is sometimes really effective, whether you screw it up and throw it in the bin after because it feels good, but just finding a way, just finding a way to kind of, you know, get it out. But I think having friends who are nurses as well does help.
Yeah.
I think there's something about the friendship of nurses that the understanding that we have of each other is quite effective as well, and being able to talk about things clinically and emotionally about situations does really help as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's great advice that, I think, because it is just the small things, and sometimes we don't think about those as self-care. You know, there's a lot of kind of misconceptions about what that is, and practically nursing is a full-on, you know, career that's busy with very little opportunity, and the very nature of what we do is about providing care to others. But just to have those moments where you can just kind of switch off and appreciate what's there, just doing that in itself is a huge way to kind of almost de-stress. You also shared a personal habit which I absolutely loved, and I'm gonna ask you, because I just think, you know, just the, well, I'll let you explain it. You explain what your one personal thing that you said when you get home from a shift.
Oh yeah. So when I get home from a shift, I don't know, I have this whole thing about like my scrubs or my uniform, is that when I put that on, it's like almost like the protection. Like I go out and I leave my personal problems and my personal life away, or in a locker, like lock it away, and I put on my uniform, go to work. And when I come home, every time when I get home, I straight away have a shower. And it's kind of as if like I'm washing the day away. So I have a shower and just let it all go, rinse it all away down the drain. And people that know me really well know that if I'm home, I'll be in my pajamas straight away. And it's just the way I think of like letting it go, to be like, well, that's the day finished, let it go, and then come back and be at home and be me rather than being the nurse. It's just, I think it's something I developed early on nursing, probably around the palliative care, that I needed to find some way to detach. And coming home and having a shower was like that process to try and detach.
I just love that. I just think it's no, I genuinely think it's such a simple way of, you know, even in the context of the work that you do with teaching, I don't know if that's you share that example,
it's still the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just that, it's the how do I do that? Well, here's an example of how I do it. But it's that whole, you know, taking off that professional kind of barrier and washing away all of the, you know, because we do take it on board, we're caring for people, we're soaking all that up. And it's such a a great example to explain to somebody who maybe doesn't know how to do that. This is how I do it, because you can relate to that instantaneously.
Well, everyone showers, and like, yeah. I always laugh because like I always say to my students, like, do you make life decisions in the shower? Like a lot of us go to the shower and we, you know, get lost in our own thoughts.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, if you can make that a mindset to just, you know, wash it away and let it go.
Let it go. Why not? Home is home. Yeah. It reminds me of something. There's some work done, you might know about this, called the Going Home Checklist, which is something that the NHS developed. It's a similar process. It's about how you mentally clear, you know, kind of psychologically you're leaving work at work. So it's about, you know, clearing your desk, closing the office door, putting on your coat, psychologically you're going home.
Yeah.
And then on that journey home, how are you kind of unscrambling your brain so that by the time you get to your front door, you are home.
Letting
and work is at work. And it's those kind of strategies, isn't it, the little practical things like that that people can learn that make a big difference just in looking after you. Do you teach that to your students? I'm curious.
I've never really talked to my students about that. I've told some of my friends about it at different times. Like, you know, some of my friends have gone through and said, oh, I'm really struggling to let go. When I get home, I'm still thinking about it. And I know my husband thinks it's funny because I come home and straight away I'm in the shower and getting my pajamas on. And it could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon or it could be earlier if I've done a community shift. And he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, well, it's just what I do, like come home, have a shower and get into my pajamas, because then I'm me and I feel but it's probably something I should look at sharing more with the class, probably really helpful.
I think so, and I think they'd really I think they'd honestly really relate to that. It's like, you know, how do you switch off? Well, here's one of the ways, and people find their own ways, but I think that's such a powerful, because you can almost imagine you put on the uniform and that is your protection. You're going to work, but then you're coming home and you're taking all of that, whatever's happened that day, off and washing it away. I just think you're such a great example. I love that. I absolutely love that. What kind of advice, Sanara, would you give to somebody who's just starting out on their career? Because obviously you're working a lot with nurses who are doing just that. What kind of words of wisdom would you share with them around?
I think reminding them that it will happen. A lot of them come, like I've spoken to a lot of grads or nurses and like, it won't happen. It will never, I can't get a job. And some of them have been waiting 6 or 12 months or longer. And I think the advice is, you know, just take a breath and start there. But I think the other part of it is that it's kind of it feels to me like when I found out about the job description and reading through the job description, that a lot of people made out that it was a secret. But the job description holds a lot of information. Yeah. And when you're applying for a job, if you can read through that job description and kind of use some of the information in that, then that's one way to start. Yeah. Because I think a lot of them are sitting there for their selection criteria or their CV going, oh, what do I write?
Yeah.
And they feel like they've got nothing to help them with it. And they're just sitting there going, oh, well, what did I do in placement? And what are my friends writing? And when really they probably need to go back and look at some of the information you've given when you apply for a job to have a read through that.
Yeah. No, that's good advice, because it is the one thing. That's the one thing I see a lot. And a lot of nurses kind of come to me with that question. They're just, and it's also understanding that, you know, it's your life experience. So anything that you've done before you did your training, whether that's volunteering, you know, helping out on holiday camps, whatever it is, it's all relative and all relevant to the person you are. And sometimes when I ask that question, I'll say, oh yeah, I didn't think about that.
And like, I always say, don't underestimate volunteering.
No, because like,
the things that I did for volunteering have led to jobs or you know, experiences that I never planned or I never asked for, but they've all been worthwhile. I think volunteering is definitely something people need to consider and remember when they do it, because it's definitely
include
worthwhile.
It include
that in your application, definitely.
No, that's good. It's good advice, really good advice, because it is difficult. It's, I think, you know, there's so few places and so much competition and so many people applying that anything you can do that kind of helps you to stand out a little bit is going to help you in that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you most like to be remembered for, Sanara, in your career?
I know you asked me this as well, and I'm trying to remember what I wrote, but I think just being someone like kind and caring for people. I'd like to think that the people that come across me know that, you know, I've always been told that I'm a really calm practitioner. Yeah. And that was something that people kept saying to me, like, you're so calm, aren't you screaming inside? And I'd be like, no, like I just always want to create that calm space for people. And I want to be remembered as someone who, you know, was there for people and kind to people and you know, able to be there.
Well, that's a lovely way to kind of end our interview today. And I think, you know, you've given a great insight into, you know, helping us to think about working with clients with disabilities and teaching around disability. And, you know, it's such an important area of nursing, and it often doesn't get much of a look in, does it? It's kind of, you know, one of those, I think, subject areas that perhaps gets neglected for the wrong reasons. And it's really good to chat with someone who's passionate about that and changing that in a way that's passionate as well. So
yeah, thanks.
It's been lovely to chat with you, and really thank you for sharing, you know, your thoughts and your, you know, ideas, because I just think there's so much value in people listening to, you know, these interviews in terms of what they take away and can apply to themselves. So thank you.
No, that's all right. Thank you so much for inviting me to come and do it. Like, I think it's so awesome that, you know, nurses can share their stories, because we all have one.
Yeah,
and it's definitely all very interesting and a lot of value.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.